Praise the Lord. Amen. Blow your horns again for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, it's so good just to see you, praise God, just to be on the grounds. Dane said a while ago, if you can't feel him out here today, you're dead. Say amen. All right. Well, thank the Lord. I want to thank Jim, Joe Barry, and all the E-team for getting all of this coordinated. And for our friends in the internet, I believe Brad said we had 183 online currently, as well as all of you out here. And we thank the Lord for that. And then for the radio ministry and all the rest of it, thank you. I'm going to give some words of instruction as we finish, but I want to preach right now and share the word of God with you. But I, again, want to say thank you to Brother Tim and Justin and all the guys who helped us get parked today. And they'll give us instructions when we get ready to leave as well. And then for Tim providing the FM signal. And that's the Stillwater's equipment. And so I thank the Lord for that. I want you to turn to a very unusual passage for Easter. Go to Genesis chapter number 2. In the book of Genesis chapter number 2, I want to read a passage of scripture here. In Genesis chapter 2, a few verses. If you have your, I know you, some of you may have your Bibles, some of you may have your electronic devices, but I want to begin in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man in whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord to grow up every tree that is pleasant to the eye and good for food. The tree of life also is in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know the story. God said you can take of any of these trees except for that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And he did die. He died spiritually that day when they partook of that food. And so look at the rest of the story that's mentioned here in this passage. And look at verse number 14 of chapter number 2. And it says this. And verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Drop down to verse 17. Unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until the return unto the ground out of which thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Verse 23, therefore the Lord sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And he drove out man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden seraphims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree. I want to pray together with you for a moment, and then I want to bring you a message. And while we're praying this morning, please remember all of our church family that's not well, and keep them in your prayers. We've been doing the phone tree, trying to keep everybody up, but continue to pray for Ricky and Helen. Keep them in your prayers. Pray for Miss Helen Stewart. We've had a death in our community right across the way over here, and the latest name that passed away, I don't recall her name, but the latest name is Linda Benson. It's not our Linda Benson, but they live over off of Elevation. So somebody was telling me about that. So please remember that family in prayer and ask God's blessing on them and many of our folk. I know that Joy Wood and Brother Danny at home this morning. Joy hadn't been feeling well, so keep her in your prayers. And all the rest of you out in the internet audience, you know we love you. We're praying for you as well. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God will help me to be a blessing to your people. God, not only this great crowd here gathered on Easter Sunday, but God, I ask your blessing on all those who hear the message now live over the internet, and for the many who may hear it in days to come. I pray, God, the Holy Spirit would help me. God, give me your anointing. Take over and speak through me this morning, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes on the glories of the garden. The glories of the garden. God fashioned Adam out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. He put him into a perfect environment, created a perfect garden for him, and the vegetables and the fruits just sprang out of the ground. I'm telling you, it was something to behold. I've never been there, but I just see it in mind's eye. He's walking along, and all of a sudden, poof, there comes a pineapple. And there's an apple tree, and all of a sudden, you see apples on that. And all, tomatoes, you got to have tomatoes. Say amen. Don't blow your horn. Got to have tomato sandwich. Everything you could ever want, God put in that garden. Then he took a rib and fashioned him a perfect woman and put him in the Garden of Eden. And yet they were not satisfied with what God gave them, and they sinned. And oh, I read to you the awful consequence of that sin. And it all started in the garden. He was formed of the dust. He was received the gift of life. He was placed in that perfect environment, and sin entered in. The Bible said, whereas by one man sin entered into the world. Sin came into that garden. You imagine that beautiful scene. And yet sin came in. Listen, he lost it all. Everything that God intended for him to have, he lost it. He went from fruitfulness and fellowship to separation. He went from faith to fear. He ran and hid himself from God. He went from fruitfulness to failure. He went from life to death. Oh, what a tragic scene that was. And because of his sin, it affected all of creation and all that would follow. Even down to this very hour in 2020, what Adam did in that garden is still affecting this world. It all started in the garden. The ground was cursed for Adam's sake. No longer did it spring forth in voluntary fruit. He had to till the ground. The Bible said sorrow was to come to his heart. He said, in sorrow shall you eat your bread all the days of your life. Sorrow came. He'd never, ever experienced in the brief time he was in the garden anything called weeping, anything called crying or sorrow. He never had any of that. All of that became because of sin. My dear friend, what causes the heartache and the sorrow in the world today is sin. And the answer for sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, not only sorrow came to that garden, but thorns, where he had walked pleasantly through that beautiful garden, all the flowers, and they just simply caressed his legs as he walked through. After sin, everywhere he went, every time he took a step, there was a sand spur in the bottom of his foot. There was briars grabbing at his legs. They were tearing at his flesh. Every time he'd reach to get a piece of fruit or something, there'd be a thorn there, and it'd scratch him, and he'd be reminded of the awfulness of sin. Thorns came because of the curse. And the sweat of his brow, he would work that ground, and he'd begin to sweat. He'd never broken a sweat until that time because he'd never been under any kind of stress. He was in a perfect environment, but sweat was to come. Now, dear friend, because of sin. And then God said, you're going to go back to the dust. Because you failed me, I created you, breathe into your nostrils breath of life. But you go back to the dust. And then he took a sword and put a flaming sword at the entrance of that beautiful garden that he might not go in and take that tree of life. And then the most awful thing that happened in that garden was the separation of fellowship between him and his God. He died spiritually that day. The Bible said when he sinned, he realized he was naked. He ran and hid from God when God came to look for him. And prior to that time, he'd walked with God, talked with God, and fellowship with God. But sin alienated him from God. Sin brought a fear of God to him and not fellowship. Oh, but my dear friend, listen, Adam lost it all. It all started in the garden. Adam goes into that garden alive. But when he comes out of the garden, he comes out dead. But now let's go to another garden, will you? I want you to turn to the other garden that I want to talk about, and it's in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 19, I want to read a few verses. John chapter 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave leave, and he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds of weight. And they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with spices and all manner of Jews, and as the manner of Jews is. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. There's another garden. And in the garden, there was a new sepulchre where never a man yet laid. Jump over to verse 42. Here's this wonderful story after the resurrection. And the ladies have come to the tomb, and Peter has come and John and verified what they reported. And then they leave. And then Mary's left alone. And she stands outside and she's weeping. And then there's a voice. And it said under verse number 13, and the angel said, said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou?" And she said unto them, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they've laid him." And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why seekest thou? Whom seekest thou? Who seekest thou?" And she, supposing him to be a gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said unto her, "Mary." And she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabbi," Rabboni, which is to say, "Master." She's in the garden, and she sees one. She doesn't recognize him as being the Lord. I'm not sure if God just caused her not to recognize him, or because of the earliness of the hour, or the tears in her eyes, but she didn't recognize him. She assumes he is the gardener because she's in the garden. And oh, my dear friend, what a garden this one is. And listen, it started in a garden. It all started in a garden. It all started with sin. It all started with the curse on it. But my dear friend, he's in the garden now. He's in the one who fashioned the Garden of Eden for Adam and for Eve to live in. He's the one who fashioned Adam out of the dust of the ground. And now he's in a garden. And listen, you know what? He reversed everything and experienced everything that Adam did. The Bible said he came to give his life a ransom. Let's think about it for just a few minutes. I mentioned a while ago that when Adam sinned, the curse came on the ground. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it says this: "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree." What came in the garden because of sin in this garden is taking place. The curse is being removed. Isaiah 53 and verse 3, sorrow was to be the lot of Adam because of his sin. But in Isaiah 53 and verse 3, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs, and he carried our sorrow." Thank God what Adam lost and what God, what happened because of his sin. Now Christ is bearing that results of that sin and the cost of that sin, the curse of that sin, and the sorrow of that sin. But the thorns, and you know well the story, John 19 verse 2, "And the soldiers planted a crown of thorns and put it upon his head." The thorns that grew up in that garden, the Garden of Eden, were because of sin and a symbol of sin. And now they take that crown of thorns and put it on his brow. He bears the curse of the ground and the price of sin and the torment of painfulness of sin. And he bears it all for me and you. And then the Bible says that he was to have sweat. And the Bible said in Luke chapter 22 and verse 44, "And being in agony, he prayed the more earnestly, and his sweat was at where great drops of blood falling down." Where did he pray that prayer? Where did he pray that prayer? He sweated great sweat drops of blood. It was in the garden. And I've been in that garden. I've been to that garden. It's right next to the garden tomb. And thank God he bore our sin and the curse of our sin. All the curse, the sorrow, the thorns, the sweat. But then think about this. He said, you're going to go back to the dust. And Psalms 22 is a wonderful picture many, many years before Christ ever came, of his agony and suffering on the cross. And Psalms 22 verse 15 says this, my strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. My dear friend, the dust that Adam was to go back to, Christ was, he said, you brought me to the dust of death. Also the sword he placed at the garden to keep Adam from going back in. And in Zechariah 13 and verse 7, it says, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall scatter, and I will turn more upon the little ones. Oh, listen, he experienced everything that Adam said, the cause of what Adam's sin brought on him and on all of creation. The Lord Jesus experienced this all. And oh, you say, Brother Billy, but you left out one. You left out the last one. The most horrible thing is that Adam, who the first thing he ever saw with human eyes was the face of God, when God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the last thing he remembered was being driven out of the garden by the God who'd fashioned him because of his sin. Oh, but did Jesus ever experience that? Did he ever experience the separation from God that loved him? His eternal Father, Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. And it says this, and about the ninth hour, Jesus is hanging on the cross, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You see, everything that Adam brought into this world by sin, it all started in the garden, but we're in another garden now, and we have a different gardener now. We have somebody who's come to take up the cross, somebody who's purchasing with his own blood what Adam lost. He's buying it all back for us. But the Bible said he's come that we might have life, and then we might have it more abundantly. Oh, I've often thought I'd sure like to have been in the Garden of Eden, but now I've changed my mind, because what he's done for me is far better than what he ever did for Adam. Did you know, my dear friend, he reversed everything. It all started in that garden, but we're in another garden now, in the garden tomb. What's taking place? Life, they took his life. He died on that cross, and he goes into the garden dead. Adam went into the garden alive, and he came out dead. But this one is going in dead, but he's coming out alive, and he's alive forevermore. Thank God for that. Oh, listen, in this garden, this glorious garden, oh, think about what God did for Adam. Oh, listen, all that he did for Adam, he's done for us. But more than that, notice in your Bible, I want to read from a passage in the book of 1 Corinthians just quickly, chapter number 15 and verse 12. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you that there's no resurrection of the dead? For if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain also. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most miserable. Verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death into the world, so also of the resurrection of came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. What Adam lost, he bought back at Calvary. And on that cross, he died and was buried. He was planted in the Garden of Eden, in the garden tomb, as Adam was placed in the garden, a created human being. Oh, but he regained everything that Adam lost and more. You see, Adam was given a garden of paradise to live in. But the Bible said that you and I who are saved, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank God. Adam, my dear friend, was given natural life. But he said, whosoever shall call upon me shall have eternal life. If you believe on him today, you can live forever and forever. My dear friend, what Adam was looking for, you find in Christ. And it's an absolute free gift. He gives us everlasting life. Adam only had natural life, but he gave me eternal life. Adam was created as an innocent being, but when I was born again and you were born again, we were made the righteousness of Christ. All of our sin was taken away, and all of our righteousness now is in Christ, and we stand before God as if we've never sinned, justified. Listen, Adam inherited a cursed world. When he left that garden, he walked out into a world that was under the curse of sin. And every morning when he got up, he knew that the reason for that is because of his sin. He inherited a cursed world. But thank God, we have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. What Adam lost, the Lord got back for us, and plus, and even more. You can have life and have it more abundantly. Adam walked with him and talked with him at certain times, but because you're saved, my dear friend, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He lives in your heart and he's there always with you, always, never ever to leave you or forsake you again. Adam was his crown in creation, but my dear friend, we are his blood-bought, blood-washed, born of the Holy Ghost children. Amen. We are the children of God. Thank God for that. Oh, listen, we are his recreated people in the act of his saving us and giving us everlasting life. Oh, listen, what a blessed thing to know that you can be saved today and that all the curse of sin can be removed because he lives. He's alive. And he's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. You see what happened in that garden, that glorious garden, goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. And you know what he said? He said, the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of Satan. And you'll bruise his heel. And that's what happened in that great time frame when he was being mutilated before the cross. But my dear friend, listen, God had a plan. And he had a seed. And you know what God did? He planted that seed in a garden tomb. And that garden tomb, he said in the book of John, if that seed that you plant, verily I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. My dear friend, he was placed the seed of the woman into that garden tomb, put back in the ground, but he came out of that grave alive forevermore. Adam came out of the garden, went in the garden alive, and came out dead. But Jesus went in the garden dead, and he came out alive. And he stands in the book of Revelation and said, I'm he who was dead, and I am alive forevermore. He's here today. He's in your place where you are listening by means of internet or radio. And my dear friend, if you'll call on him, he's the answer to your problem. I thank God for our president and Mr. Pence. I pray for them all the time. I'm more thankful for them now than when they were elected. I'm praying for them. They carry the weight of this world basically on their shoulders. But they're looking to God. I believe that. I believe they're trusting God. But my dear friend, listen, can I say this to you? Your hope is not in president. It's not in Mr. Pence. It's not in all the scientists who are trying to find a cure for the virus. It is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can have eternal life. You can be saved today if you'll trust him. Bow your heads with me here on the grounds and our friends at home and in the internet and wherever you might be. I am glad for the glories of the garden. Thank God. I enjoyed so much our trip to the Holy Land. I was blessed. Like most of the folk, the time I got there, when I was standing in the airport and our group was coming by, I said to every one of them, welcome home. Welcome home. This is your land, your home. And I felt like that the whole time I was there. But my dear friend, this world is not our home. Heaven's our home. We're heading that away if we know Christ. And what we experience down here, the suffering of this world, not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall follow. We've been going through some tough times, but thank God there's better days ahead. But yet beyond that, there is eternity where there's endless joy, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain. And friends, you can know that by trusting Jesus Christ today as your Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And Brad, do you have a song? Where are you at? Brad's coming to sing for us. And as we're singing, as he's singing, folk here on the ground and in your place at home, I want you to turn your heart to him. If you haven't trusted him in the ground today, here, you don't know for sure you're going to heaven. You'd better find out for sure, because what you're seeing now is the beginning of sorrows. It's going to get a lot worse than we've experienced these last few weeks, I promise you. But thank God he's not appointed us to wrath. We're going to get out of here, those who know Christ. My dear friend, you need to trust him today as your Savior. We can help you in any way. Please contact us here at the church. I love you. And after we sing and after we cut off the internet, I'm going to share some very important things with you. God bless now. Touch Brother Brad as he sings, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name.